and Dejanovic, your morning companions for talk, analysis, and key perspectives on Utah's biggest stories on KSL News Radio.
It is so out of control in so many states. And in fact, in Florida, squatting got so bad. You know, this is where people are crashing private homes with the homeowners not there. It was dragging homeowners themselves into court. They were spending thousands of dollars fighting these squatters who had moved into their home and wouldn't get out. So the governor and lawmakers in Florida stepped in and they solved it. They made it a crime.
Providing very swift remedies, because what the squatters know is even when they're in the wrong, it's a massive process many times before they can be evicted. And a lot of times the process is very expensive.
And there's a process here in Utah as well. But this isn't just a Utah or United States problem. Apparently, all the criminals out there, or all the squatters out there, maybe I can't even call them criminals because a lot of what they're doing is totally legal. This is happening across the pond in England, jolly old England. Gordon Ramsay had this little gastropub.
Okay.
It's worth about $13 million,
what?
The building is.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, 13 million pounds.
What? That's about the same.
Okay, so ballpark, millions. And at least six squatters, they show up to his place. He was trying to sell it. It hadn't been used. They show up. They start boarding up the windows. They bring in the couches. They're taking naps on the couches.
Oh, my gosh.
They put up a sign that says, this is no longer a gastropub. This is a community cafe. So you can come in and get a hot cup of joe.
Well, and it puts Ramsay in a weird spot, because who's going to fight the community cafe aspect of it? Now you look like a jerk.
Yeah. Except it's a $13 million building that you're trying
terrible.
To sell. And you're like, but you're going to get six new friends out of it.
So that's Gordon's deal. Has he gotten them out? Do we know?
Nope.
Oof.
So far, nope.
Still dealing. That's in England. Messy. So let's talk about how people squat, because it's not, I think we traditionally just think of people just breaking into a home while you're away on a long vacation and then taking over the home. Or maybe your home is vacant, it's up for sale, and you live out of state, and maybe your real estate agent, maybe it's for sale by owner, so you don't have a real estate agent, or your real estate agent isn't getting by that often because there's no interest in your home, because of course you've way overpriced it, whatever the case may be. This is what is happening in Florida. Listen to this Florida resident, what happened when squatters took over homes in the neighborhood.
My name is Justin Melcarrick, and I'm just one of the neighbors that had to deal with squatters invading our street. The squatters brought reckless driving, drugs, weapons, and verbal threats to the lives of my neighbors.
Now, you might say, oh, that's just Florida. That wouldn't happen in Utah. It's happened here. I've covered the story when I was an investigative reporter at KSL 5 television, where neighbors got a hold of me and said, Debbie, you're not going to believe this, but these fools moved in quite a while ago. Neighbors started keeping book because they'd opened it like an open-air illegal drug market in the driveway, and the home was up for sale, so it was just a sitting duck for squatters. There'd been little traffic on it. I don't know why. There wasn't a lot of people going through the home, but people were living there in mass. And these were people who were allegedly dealing drugs illegally. They just turned it into a flop pad. So it happens in Utah. It was a messy situation. The cops got involved. The people got dragged out of there. But honestly, I don't remember exactly what ended up happening in that particular home, because the story took me in a different direction. But what a mess. Now you got to take a crew in, clean the place up. You hope they weren't making meth in that home. Fentanyl. All the things that you don't, all the poisons you don't want in your home. So that's one way. And it happens here in Utah. Okay, so it's another state. We're going to talk to Greg Skordas in just a bit, a legal analyst here at our legal analyst here at KSL, and talk about what our rights are as homeowners, okay? The other way, Dave, is this is becoming more prevalent, too, because of the high cost of housing and renting. let's say you become a landlord. Let's say you lease your home out because you're going to move out of state for a couple of years or whatever. You're going to go on a mission, whatever the case may be. You lease your home out. You have people sign a legally binding contract. They seem awesome. They move in. They make their first two payments. And then they stop paying you and they won't move out.
I had that experience.
What?
I just remembered this.
We talked about this story for a week. And
Debbie,
you're just telling me this now?
I have to go back into the memory banks here. It was,
goodness, what happened?
I think the second or third year my wife and I were married, we were managing a small little apartment complex. There was maybe five or six apartments, townhomes.
In Utah?
In Utah. It was in Sandy. And it's exactly what, as you were saying it, that was exactly my experience.
You started to get anxiety because you remembered.
It was totally what happened because we collected 1 month's rent, a deposit, and then that was the last we saw from the guy or heard from him. And so help me, there were a steady stream of people, drug users, that were coming in. And I'm like, I'm pounding on the door. I'm like,
you're in over your head.
What are you doing
point?
In there? Get out of there.
You're way in over your head.
I'm totally. I'm 24 years old at the time. I don't know what in the world to do. And we had to start eviction proceedings. But this guy, I learned, had been arrested. He was in jail. He hadn't been there for weeks. And his buddies
had figured out he was in jail.
And they were in there.
Oh my goodness!
And it was a very long process of, I started learning all the hoops you got to jump through to try to evict somebody, and it was a nightmare. Like, the guy that signed the lease is in jail right now.
Well, they know that.
I know.
They know that. They know their buddy is in the clink.
Yep.
And so they are gonna, and they know he lives alone. And they know he won't mind if they move in and they start taking over and doing their, you know, committing their criminal activity out of that little apartment.
Do you know what we did? What the owner did?
No, I don't.
Instead of going through the legal proceedings, I know, I'm trying to remember all this. He just went and changed the locks.
Oh.
Which is illegal.
Yeah.
Like you're not supposed to do that. But he basically dared the squatters to sue him to get back in, and they just left. They were fine. But the place was a mess. Drug paraphernalia everywhere.
It is kind of crazy because in some states where they are trying to change the locks, like, for example, this is happening in New York. This New York couple is being, I think, sued by, I think it's squatters that are suing them. It's their home.
Yeah.
It was broken into. Squatters were living there.
They purchased this investment property in Queens. Put $530,000 in renovation into this property. Their real estate broker found two tenants that was about to move in. Then some squatters, allegedly, I'm going to say allegedly because I ain't trying to get sued by them, broke into the house and claimed that they lived there. Long story short, they showed proof to the police. They had cameras, timestamps, the whole nine yards. The police wound up getting them out of there. 10 days later, after this happened, the squatters came back and served them with court papers and now are suing them. And this couple has raked up over $4,000 in lawyer bills fighting this. And the worst part about this is their lawyer advised them that they can't even move in the tenants that they secured into the property until this court matter is settled.
Now the whole house that they own is tied up in some sort of civil battle in court. They've spent thousands in legal fees already, and they don't even have access to their own property. It's messy.
It's dangerous.
And you just highlighted how dangerous it can be. It's wild. And it's all kinds of different scenarios. It is not just, hey, somebody broke into my house while I was away, and they're living there for a week. It's people who go to jail and their jailbird buddies sprung out of jail and they're moving into the apartment that Dave's managing now. What a mess for you, Dave. How scary was that?
It was scary because I knew what was going on, and I'm kind of angry about it, and I'm pounding on the door. I'm trying to get them to answer it, and they're ignoring it, and they're kind of shouting from the bedrooms. I was unprepared. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to handle it.
Of course you didn't. You did the best you could, but you also, well, that's kind of dangerous.
looking back,
yeah.
What was I doing?
Well, you didn't know any better.
Yeah, didn't know any better.
No.
But I was wrong. And I remember those feelings. I'm like, this is so wrong.
Right. Of course it's wrong.
And there, it was.
You're just stuck.
The legal process was so clumsy.
This is a great time to bring in KSL legal analyst Greg Skordas. Let's talk to him about your scenario, what you went through. Let's talk about what homeowners' rights are now in the state of Utah. And I also want to ask about this because Tim and Amanda tasked me with asking about this. What if you move a family member or a good friend in, you allow them to live while they're going through a hard time, they're allowed to sleep on your sofa, and then they never leave? Do they have more rights than you do as a homeowner who's just doing the right thing? That's next.
Dave and Janovic.
In a moment, we're going to speak to KSL legal analyst Greg Skordas about what are your rights as a homeowner if somebody decides they're going to squat in your home, they're going to move in and not get out. You know, things got so bad in Florida, Dave, where people were squatting all over the place. Squatters' rights in Florida were outmaneuvering homeowners' rights. So lawmakers stepped up this year, changed the law, and gave cops more rights to remove squatters. Here's the Polk County Sheriff talking about what he'll do now.
If you break into someone's house or you trespass into their house just because they're not living there at the moment, it doesn't give you the right to stay there. And that's nonsense telling people that they've got to go to court to get their house back from a guy who broke in, changed the locks, and started paying the electricity. That's out of control.
I think what concerns me so much about this story is it can turn violent and dangerous in a heartbeat. If I were to come into my house and there were people there, I have no idea why they're there. I have no idea what their intentions are. This could turn deadly in a heartbeat.
KSL legal analyst Greg Skordas, Dave just said, told us a wild story he hadn't bothered to mention until we were live on the air, that he was actually, I'm going to say, victimized by this. He was the landlord or the property manager of an apartment complex, and some guys knew their buddy went to jail, and then they moved in and started to commit illegal activity.
Yeah, they were doing drugs, and they it was just like a revolving door.
You couldn't get him out.
No, couldn't get him out. I was knocking on the door. Greg, what are the rules and what are the laws here in Utah when it comes to squatters?
Yeah, and so I'm sorry you had to go through that, Dave. That's very inappropriate. And sometimes you just have to get law enforcement involved. But we have pretty good rights for both landlords and tenants in Utah. We don't have a squatter problem here. I mean, you obviously did. But if you can get a good attorney, and unfortunately, sometimes you just have to go through the legal process and spend the money, you can get a 3-day notice to vacate. You can get the sheriff's office behind it, and you can have them forcibly evicted after a hearing if they want to contest it, but after 3 days if they don't. And so I know it's unfortunate that your story sounds awful, and we have a lot of situations where tenants overstay. And sometimes the landlords, act inappropriately by evicting before a lease is up. But, yeah, we don't have a squatter problem here in Utah, and I think we have very, very good laws in favor of landlords to prevent that from ever occurring.
Greg, I think some people would push back on that because they've experienced squatters in their homes while they're gone on vacation or while they're, maybe away for a while or their home is on the market. They've moved out of state. It's for sale by owner. There's nobody really checking on it, and squatters have moved. I've covered stories on this, and it's frustrating for people. Is it always a civil issue, or will law enforcement come along and just literally kick these people out of your home? Like, if you come home and you find somebody cooking meth on your stovetop and they don't live there, even if they did live there, it's illegal, but could law enforcement swoop in and get these people out of your house without some sort of civil process?
Yes, I think you could. Technically, that's a burglary. It's an unlawful entry with the intent to commit a crime.
Okay.
That's the definition of burglary. And I think if you call the police and treat it as such, not as a tenant, not as somebody that's overstaying their visit, but somebody who was never invited in the first place and shouldn't be there, law enforcement will treat that as a burglary or at least a criminal trespass, and they can arrest them, which is a good way to get them out of your house, if that's the angle you want to go. Then you can avoid all the civil process, the expenses, hiring an attorney. Just call the police.
Make it criminal if you can. That's a good tip. I love it. Okay, so what are my rights if I let somebody couch surf and then all of a sudden they won't leave?
Yeah, I think this happens a lot as people are trying to do the right thing, Greg. People are in a bind to pay rent, or they just are in between homes and they just need a place to sleep for a few nights, and then a few nights turns into a few months.
Yeah, that's a bigger problem because it's not a burglary because they didn't enter with the intent to commit a theft. Our burglary statute actually includes they remained with the intent to commit a theft or an assault or something. But if they're just hanging out, then that's not technically a burglary. You're probably just going to have to go through the civil channels and have them removed that way. I guess you could maybe see if a judge would issue you a trespass order or something like that, and then you could have law enforcement get involved and have them removed. But yeah, those are unfortunate situations between friends that often end very, very poorly because one party takes advantage of the other. But yeah, don't take matters into your own hands. You can get a civil injunction or a restraining order, or you can get law enforcement involved.
Financially, if I do have to hire a lawyer, go through the court process, what should I be prepared for? Like, are we talking thousands, hundreds, tens of thousands?
It would probably be in the four figures. It'd probably be at least 1,000, maybe more. And of course, the judge would almost certainly order that the squatter paid you that back. But of course, that may not be worth the paper it's written on. But yes, you could have a restitution order that would allow you to get that money back at some point. Of course, you know, those are hard to collect on. But yes, that you could expect to spend several hundred dollars, even up to 1,000 or more.
What a pain. KSL legal analyst Greg Skordas live on the line. We're talking about homeowners' rights versus squatters' rights as squatting has picked up around the country. He just told us that the rules here tend to favor homeowners, but, you know, as always, squatters are criminals find some loopholes. But let's say you legally enter some sort of a binding lease agreement with somebody, you've done a background check, you feel good about them, you move them in, Greg, and then 2 months later they stop paying, which is a growing squatting issue across the country. They just stop paying. So now they live in your home for free. Am I stuck going to civil court to get them out?
Yes, that's about the only thing you can do is go through the civil process. The notice to vacate or pay rent, give them 3 days, get them in front of a judge as soon as possible. And judges are pretty good. I mean, we have a lot of there are courts in every county. There are judges active in every county. They have eviction proceedings that go regularly. And I think most of the clerks, so that a person may not have to spend money on an attorney, some of the court clerks may have the forms that you can use to do those 3-day notices to vacate. And so it may not cost as much as you think. But yeah, if somebody's got a lease agreement, you've got to honor the lease agreement. But most of those include provisions that if rent is not paid within a certain period of time, usually 5 days or 10 days after it's due, that the landlord can start eviction proceedings.
Greg, thank you for joining us. KSL legal analyst Greg Skordas.
So it gives me pause to allow somebody to couch surf. You know, what if they just don't leave?
It's a great point. I mean, friendships end all the time.
I know.
And when people are desperate and they're trying to find a place and they don't have a future where they know they're going to stay,
yeah,
and they start panicking and they're like, if I have to sacrifice a relationship, then so be it.
Here's how I want to end this though, Dave. How would you have done things differently knowing what you know now so many years later with those squatters in that apartment complex that you were managing?
I should have just gone through the court proceeding. Should have called the lawyer because I called the cops. And they told me there's nothing we can do. You have to go through the court proceedings, and I just would have done that. I do kind of love that the owner just came in and changed the locks when they were gone. I kind of love that. Like, why are we obeying the laws when these guys are breaking it? Kind of love it.
It is tricky when you start changing locks. But one of the many tips is if you're going to be away from your property, and you weren't, that was just a really weird, unusual circumstance where the tenant had gone to jail and their jailbird friends figured it out and moved in. But it's if you are going to be out of town for a significant period of time, or you have a house on the market that is vacant and there's a big sign that you know has your real estate agent's name on it, but is also a red flag for squatters or a white flag for squatters, make sure you have somebody checking on your home very, very regularly. I think that's a great tip.
David Dujanovic. David Dujanovic.
Squatting has been a growing problem around the nation. We talked about it live in our 10 o'clock hour and went in depth. We're going to get the Utah Rental Housing Association on the air to ask what your rights are. If you rent out a place and somebody squats, what are your rights? Now, this really came to light out of Florida, where we started hearing that people were moving into folks' homes while they were out of town or, you know, somewhere, you know, on traveling or whatever, or their home was for sale and they weren't around. And then the governor and the legislature had to step in.
Providing very swift remedies, because what the squatters know is even when they're in the wrong, it's a massive process many times before they can be evicted. And a lot of times the process is very expensive.
And that massive process is not unique to Utah. It's not unique to Florida or the United States. This is happening. I love this story. I love it because it's so horrific. Gordon Ramsay, celebrity chef, had a gastropub. It's a $13 million building. And he was moving. They were selling it. So six squatters came in. They boarded up the windows. They started sleeping and hanging out here. And then they put up a sign outside that said, "This is now a community cafe." So this is a community area. It's $13 million worth of a community area, but this is a community area. And these squatters, they have such expansive rights in England. You have to go through the court system. It's a civil litigation. Cops can't even come in and handle it.
And you learn firsthand what squatters can do. They moved into an apartment complex back in the day you were managing in your early 20s with your wife, and you were banging on the door to get them out.
Get out of there! We know you're not supposed to be in there.
You told us earlier it became this nasty civil process to get them out, or ultimately the landlord went in and changed the locks and sped things up.
Which I just loved. I love that he, because we were getting ready to go through the entire legal process, but he basically waited till they left. He changed the locks and we heard from them no more.
Was he waiting in the bushes for them to leave?
It wasn't far off. I mean, it wasn't. I just came home one day and there's like, locks are changed. Don't worry about it.
Don't ask any questions. Paul Smith, we do Utah's Rental Housing Association. Weren't you formerly the Apartment Association, Paul?
Yes, we were, but we have recently rebranded because we represent all rental housing operators, not just apartments.
Oh, nice. Okay, so there we go. So you'll have a so Dave's situation. He was renting out. It was like a fiveplex or something like that. He was the manager. Some people move in because they found their buddy had been hauled off to jail for a couple of weeks. And so these guys move in and they start committing all kinds of crimes in the house and Dave can't get them out. Changing the locks, is that legal or illegal for somebody who owns the property to do to keep these squatters out?
Well, Utah's a state where we do have due process and protections for both landlords and tenants. One of the reasons we don't have a lot of squatting problems is we have very good trespassing laws. So if somebody were to break into a property, the police generally can remove them pretty easily and are usually willing to do that. In Dave's case, they didn't break in the property. Someone that had permission to be there allowed them in. So in that case, we are required to go through an eviction process. It takes about 3 weeks generally, the eviction process in Utah, and costs somewhere between $1,000 and $1,500. However, there are times when people that don't have any right to be there, they leave. If you change the locks, they could call the police and make an argument that they had a legal right to be there, but very difficult in Dave's case for them to prove it because they didn't have a lease, they weren't on the lease. So that does happen from time to time. But we encourage people to follow the law, due process where you can, and make sure if you're doing things like changing locks that you've talked it through with an attorney.
Yeah, I'm sure this was super frowned upon, Paul. I'm sure the owner was not above board on this. It felt a little shady when he was doing it, but I look at it, so I'm not trying to justify it.
No, I
was 24-year-old. I'm like, all right, it's his place. He'll deal with the ramifications. But part of what concerns me about squatting in general is I'm afraid that it could turn into a dangerous situation. You know, if I came on and people were staying in a house or my house or whatever, that things could escalate or you could feel threatened. And that's where I really get concerned about a squatting problem is the danger aspect.
Well, and we would always recommend people don't go deal with these issues by yourself. Have backup, have somebody with you. And if there's any hint of danger, just stay away. Get the police involved. Start the eviction process. Fortunately, it doesn't take too long in a state like Utah. It's not too expensive. It's better to be safe than sorry.
Paul Smith with the Utah Rental Housing Association. I have one last question before we let you go. Is there something you recommend, a best practices for people who are renting out their properties to avoid this, being targeted by squatters?
Yeah, number one is that you never let somebody in without a lease and without having paid rent and deposit. Sometimes landlords let someone who's working on the property move in, or they give someone a key early, and that's just a big no-no, because if somebody does move in and then they don't keep their agreements, the only remedy is eviction. The second is you need to know who your renters are and make sure they're following the rules, because a renter that lets someone else in has done that legally and the other person is not squatting, they have a legal right to that property. Mm. And the only way to get them out is to do an eviction. So just make sure, landlords, that you're monitoring your tenants, you know who lives there, and you're enforcing your rules about who can and can't be there.
Thank you, Paul, for joining us. Paul Smith with Utah Rental Housing Association.
When we were talking about this in our 10 o'clock hour, Heather Kelly from our traffic center ran into studio and she started showing me a picture, Dave, of her condo complex and the home right across the way. She said there were squatters who got in. The way they got in was by climbing onto the air conditioning unit, and they slithered in through a window, and then they blocked the window with like all kinds of cardboard and blankets and that kind of thing. And then we said, okay, before you leave for the day, leave us a recording of what happened. And here's what happened in her situation.
I live in a townhome community, and so the buildings are 10 feet apart from each other. The back of my building is 10 feet away from my neighbors. And a couple of years ago, one day, all of a sudden, they noticed all the windows had blankets and like space blankets pinned up in front of the windows so you couldn't see in anymore. Different people were driving in and out. We saw at least five or six different cars over a couple of month period. And finally, another neighbor and I got together. We started calling the police. We would see police officers walk around, knock on the door, try to get in there. And finally, once the people were evacuated or they decided to leave because there was so much police presence, somebody came in, cleaned out the house. They did have a meth lab in their garage. And then we saw the notices come up saying that nobody should enter that townhome. There was hazard waste. So yeah, it was a little scary for a couple of months while people came in and tried to clean out all the residue from the meth lab throughout that. We saw carpets come out and appliances. And yeah, it was just a really interesting area that you had these squatters in there for a couple of months, at least, doing meth.
Heather Kelly, congratulations. You definitely won the squatter meth story of the day. You, my goodness.
It's a real problem. It's a real problem, and it turns a lot of neighborhoods upside down, brings in crime. The one I told you the story about I did on the home that was invaded by squatters who decided to make it an open-air drug market. They just had the home on the market. That's it. And so it was vacant, and they were out of state, and squatters just move in. But Heather, we're glad you got that cleaned out of your neighborhood. What a mess. Straight ahead. The Great Shakeout takes place this Thursday. Dave and I are going to be live at a local school that's taking measures to protect kids. And fortunately, Wade Matthews with the Division of Emergency Management joining us next with advice on making your home earthquake safe. Straight ahead.